Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is The Encouragement of Scripture. Is there anyone here this morning who has never been in need of encouragement? Today our message is going to talk about how God's Word itself gives us the courage we need, that is, encourages us. Based on Romans chapter 15, verse 4, our epistle reading from today, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. I invite you to open up your bulletin and find there your blue insert. There are many inserts today, but pick out the blue one. Upon it, you will find the sermon outline as we consider our theme, the encouragement of Scripture. Let me ask you sort of a peculiar question. Do you think it's possible to have too much reverence and respect for the Bible? Well, there's a story about a man who decided to marry a woman named Grace. Because he had so much respect for the Bible, he opened it up and found this passage that says, "My grace is sufficient for you." And the story is told of another man who was trying to find God's guidance and direction for his life. So he said, "God's book is so wonderful. I have so much respect. I'll just close my eyes, open the Bible, and point. And the first passage I point to will give me guidance." And so he did this, and the first passage that he pointed read, "Judas went and hanged himself." Well, not finding much comfort there, he tried it again, closed his eyes and pointed, and the next passage read, "Go thou and do likewise." He tried it a third time and said, "I've got to find God's guidance." And the last passage read, "And what thou doest, doest quickly." Too much reverence from the Bible, treating it like a holy or magical thing, can lead us in the wrong direction. When I was in high school, one day in the hallway, I was roughly and rudely pushed up against the lockers by a big guy on the football team. I was carrying a number of my school books, and underneath my school books was my Bible that I carried and read in school. And he was upset, and he said, quote, "Why are you carrying the good book on the bottom? The good book should be on top." Now, I should have kept quiet. He was much bigger, almost were, than me. And I said, "Well, are you in the habit of reading the good book?" And he said, "Oh, no, no, but we have a beautiful copy we have on the coffee table at home, and everybody walks in can see the Bible right there, but I never read it." And let's talk about the way so many Bibles are made. Moroccan leather covers, gold inlaid pages, the words of Jesus in red, 10-karat gold stamps, the Holy Bible, as if the Bible does not relate to the mess and the clutter and the unholiness of our everyday lives. We ask our question, it's on your insert, is the Bible a holy relic or is it the living Word of God? When there's too much, or more properly, when there's a false reverence for the Bible, God is not allowed to speak to our daily lives the way He wants to. And Advent and Christmas is a time when Almighty God especially wants to talk to you. Advent and Christmas is a time where God wants to come alive through the Scriptures and touch your heart and draw you closer to Himself than you've been for a long time. The Bible contains a message we need to hear every day. Listen again to the first verse of our epistle lesson. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. You and I and every person today needs encouragement, needs hope. But we can miss out on these gifts of God if we miss the way the Bible came to be written, the way the Bible was first expressed, the way the Bible came to us today. So today is a strange kind of sermon. It's a sermon about the Bible. The Bible did not drop from the skies on golden tablets, like is the crazy teaching of one major cult in North America. The Bible did not drop from the sky in King James English with gold inlaid covers, the words of Jesus in red. No. The way the Bible came to us shouts encouragement and hope that the same God it speaks of still speaks to us today. The Bible contains a message with an immediacy about it. Did you know that most of what we got in the Bible were first oral words spoken from somebody's mouth to other people's ears, and only later were these words written down? There was a crisis, a war, persecution, a time of slavery or someone's death, and through God's inspiration, men spoke to the moment with God's own message. So Moses spoke to Pharaoh in Egypt, "Let my people go." So Jesus spoke to a blind man, "My son, receive your sight." So Paul spoke to persecuted Christians in Rome. The words of our text today, that by the encouragement of Scripture, they might have hope. The Bible is a written record of these words spoken to others. The Bible contains a message by, for, and to living people, from Genesis to the Psalms to Jesus. You see, as far as we know, Jesus never wrote one single word in a book. He was too busy speaking the message of God to people in the workplace, in their home, at the temple, on the side of the road. And it's a miracle. It is a miracle that we have these words written down and kept for us today. And what is God's purpose of giving us this book? Listen again to today's single verse. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. Behind the pages of the Bible are people like you and me, on the job, going to school, paying the bills, doing the laundry, living and dying, and it's a count of God speaking to and dealing with them in the give and take of their daily lives. And so today, we listen to the Bible and God's Word, speaking to us not a holy language unrelated to our daily lives, but a language of the kitchen, a language of the street, a language of the workplace, a language, if you were with me yesterday, in the hospital room, to give us encouragement, to give us hope where we live. The Bible is a holy dialogue. God speaks and people reply. People speak and God replies. So Almighty God spoke to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden, and said to them, "Where are you?" So the psalmist cries out to God, "How long, O Lord, how long?" So Jesus tells a parable, a story, and then ends by asking, "Well, what do you think?" The Bible is a living encounter between God and man. The Bible is not a set of flat statements about God. For goodness sake, it's not a list of instructions on how to live your life. It's not a philosophy about the meaning of existence. The Bible is a living encounter between God and man because God comes to where we are. Did you get that? It's the message of Christmas. God comes to where we are to listen, to understand, to speak. God does not demand, and thank God He does not, God does not demand that you clean yourself up, that you get everything figured out in life, that you have no doubts or no fears before you come into His presence. No, God is already here, listening to your cries, understanding your heart, speaking to your deepest need. And Almighty God says tenderly and clearly, from the cradle of Bethlehem to the cross of Calvary, God says to you, are you listening? God says to you today, I love you. I am for you. I want you to be with me forever in heaven. In Christ Jesus, Almighty God comes to us as close as a manger in a stable, as close as a hill, a cross on a hilltop, as close as bread and wine on an altar, as close as a written account of His love, the love letter of God in the Bible. Not just from the mouth of the preacher, but for you to pick up in your own hands and read God's Word for you today. And what is the message that God is wanting to speak to your hearts today? Here's the message. All through the Scripture, it can be summarized in this. For God so loved a sinful, rebellious world that was destroying itself. For God so loved sinful, rebellious people that were making a shambles of their lives and the world around them, that He couldn't stand to see us destroy ourselves. For God so loved this world, He gave. He gave His best. He gave His very heart. He gave His Son. That whoever puts their faith in Him should not perish, but should live with God forever in heaven. There is the message of the Bible. There is what Martin Luther calls the gospel in a nutshell. God love. God gave so that we might not perish. It's all about Jesus. You see, the Bible contains earthy, gutsy stories with God in the middle of it all. In the Old Testament, there's a devastating flood, and God is in the middle of that. Joseph has a family feud. There's a family fight. Of course, you never have such things in your homes, but Joseph had a family feud with 11 brothers, and God was in the middle of that. King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and God gets into the middle of that. The Babylonian armies were knocking on the gates of Jerusalem, and God was in the middle of that. In the New Testament, Jesus teaches about the eternal kingdom of God by using stories from our everyday lives. So He tells a story about a man who was beat up and mugged going for a walk from Jerusalem to Jericho. He tells a story about a woman who loses a precious coin in her house and cleans the house trying to find it. He tells a story about a boy who runs away from home and takes his inheritance and thumbs his nose at his father. He tells a story about a shepherd who loses a dumb sheep that got away when the rest of them stayed where they should have been. The God of the Bible is not above our lives. He is not unrelated to our lives. He speaks to us if we take time to listen. And now comes the time in the sermon when I quit preaching and start meddling. God speaks to us today if we take time to listen. I am so glad you're in worship today. I encourage you to keep being consistent and faithful in hearing God's word Sunday after Sunday. But you know what? It's not enough. All around you, all week long, come the voices of the world around you and the devil himself steering you in the wrong direction, you tearing you away from God. Do you hear the voices? They are shouted at you every day from the television, from the movie screen, from the newspaper, from the neighborhood, from the schools. God says, I have a message I want to speak to your hearts. Will you listen? Keep coming faithfully on Sunday morning to worship. But it's not enough. You need to be in Bible study. You need to be gathered with others who open up God's word that you can learn, that you can grow. Whether it's Tuesday morning men's group, Wednesday's women's group, Thursday confirmation class, Sunday Bible class. Yes, there is a Bible class at 9:30 that meets before the service. Did you know that? You are welcome there. Maybe ESL Bible classes. For maybe you say, well, I've had so much Bible study in my life. As our English is a second language class, here's a chance to befriend people in the name of Jesus, to open up simple truths of the Scripture, simply to be conversation partners. We need your help. People are coming here saying, who is this Jesus? We've got the goods. Will we give it to them? Is this a commercial for Bible class attendance? Sure is. Is this a commercial to help out with our ESL classes? Yes, it is. I make no apology about it. God speaks to our hearts today if we take time to listen. This is a living word. Well, we need to get away from over-spiritualizing the Bible. We need to get away from over-spiritualizing our faith and the church. And you might be saying, preacher, what are you talking about? It sounds like this. Do you have a false reverence for the Bible that says, I can't open the Bible. I can't read it. I can't study it because what if I misunderstand it? What if I mess it up? Or I can't open the Bible and read it because, you see, so many people know way more about it than I do. Or I'm not in the habit of coming to Bible class, so I leave it on the coffee table or on the bookshelf, or I leave it in the hands of the good reverend, and he'll be the Bible man for me. Or do you go to church to get away from real life? Do you go to church to take a retreat in a spiritual atmosphere? Do you go to church to forget or to deny the muck and the mud and the blood and the guts of your Monday through Saturday lives? If so, this is not the faith of the Scriptures. This is not the Christian faith at all. If these things continue, not studying God's Word, coming to escape from the reality all around, this can result with this attitude. And it is resulting in this attitude. We're seeing it in the generations that are coming. Grandma and grandpa, faithful in church, faithful in Bible class. Next generation, faithful in church, not too much in Bible class. Next generation, drag them to get the confirmation, only here a couple times a year. Do you see where we're going? The further away we get from God's word, the weaker our faith. God still has a message to speak to us today if we would stop and listen. But if we don't stem the tide, and it starts with us, here are the attitudes that can start to come, and they're infiltrating the Christian church today. The God of the Bible is simply not relevant. He has nothing to say to me today. Who needs him? There really is no way to figure out this puzzle that I call life. There's a story told about a father who was busy working in his home, and his little boy really wanted to help Papa, but he kept getting in the way. So Father thought if he gave him a task that would occupy his time, he could finish his job and not hurt the little boy's feelings. So from his shelf, he picked this puzzle with many, many puzzle pieces in it. It was a picture of the world. He thought, this will keep him busy. I can get my work done. But in no time at all, that little guy came back with the puzzle completely finished. And the father was surprised, how could you finish it so completely? And he said, that was easy, Daddy. On the back of that puzzle of the world was a picture of Jesus. And once I put his face together clearly and could see him, the whole world fit together just right. If the Bible could speak out loud to you and me today, here's what it would say. Don't run around frantically here and there, trying desperately to put the pieces of your life together. There is one who can do this for you. His name is Jesus. He is the very center of all the words I contain and the stories that I tell. Listen to John 20, verse 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Or, to quote from Paul in Romans 15, our text for the last time, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Today, Almighty God, we thank you for your gifts of encouragement and hope that come to us in every page of your Bible. In the name of Jesus, amen.